This recording is from Christ Kingdom Church in Waterford Lakes, East Orlando. Visit us online at christkingdom.org for our calendar, driving directions, and more audio recordings.
One small child in a land of a thousand. One small dream of a Savior tonight. One small hand reaching out to the starlight. One small city of light. One king bringing his gold and his riches. One king ruling an army of might. One king kneeling with incense and candlelight. One king bringing us life.
Stand together and hear our call to worship in Luke 2, 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Away in a manger, no crib for lay down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the baby awakes the I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care and fit us for heaven to live with thee there. Come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels.
Have the lighting of our Advent wreath, all five candles, as the Luton family comes forward. Our reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
Let's stand together again.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains.
Opportunity now is we get to hear from our Kingdom kids as they're going to come forward and lead us in some more Christmas worship.
Thank you. and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, but the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people today in the town of David. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Luke 2:7-11.
Wanted to give a special thanks to Gabby Estrada, one of our middle schoolers, who helped coordinate that as well. So thank you, Gabby. Right now, I want to direct your attention to a special video presentation here just to remind us about, the view of Christmas from that of a child.
What's your favorite part of Christmas?
Christening up the Christmas tree.
When we get to have all the food.
Getting Christmas presents.
Getting out of my room, peeking the corner, and seeing where Santa Claus is.
What's your least favorite part?
Last year, the tree was fake and we could see right through it.
My brother cried because he's scared of Santa, but I'm not.
What kinds of things do you like to do in the snow?
Play in the snow.
I like to make snowmen, make snow angels,
slide down hills,
snowball fights.
And then I like to skate, but it's really hard. I can't even do it.
Whose birthday is on Christmas?
Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus is.
Santa's. I mean, Jesus.
And where was Jesus born?
In a tent.
In a stable.
At a hospital.
In Bethlehem.
In Oklahoma.
What kind of animals were there?
Sheep and cows, horses,
chickens, camels, pigs, elephants,
bunnies and giraffes, zebras,
dogs and kitties.
Why do other people get presents on Jesus' birthday?
Because they've been good.
Well, they gave presents to him when he was born, and we give gifts to each other.
Because Jesus was the gift from God.
What do you think is Jesus' favorite part of Christmas?
Just seeing people happy.
See how everyone's being kind to one another.
Probably the missions for all the homeless people.
If you could give Jesus a present, what would you give him?
A puppy dog.
A snowball.
A little bear, and he loves it.
I'll give him all my toys.
My love. My heart. Everything I had.
Why do you think Jesus came to live with us?
Because he loves everybody the most.
Because he wanted us to be good, not bad.
God's son, and that was what God wanted him to do.
And that way he could fix out all the problems that were happening.
He felt like we were more important than him. I think he loves us very much.
Why is Christmas so special?
Jesus was born on that day.
Because you share it with your friends and family.
It's a day where we can spend time and we get to give presents to other people. It's about sharing. We get to praise Jesus.
I love it. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Bow your heads and let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the cool and special reminders that you give us from the lips of our kids sometimes, reminding us about Christmas, from the story itself, from our own family traditions and experiences. God, thank you for another opportunity this year to come and pause, to come and remember, to come and look forward as well. So God, would you continue to draw our hearts to you now? And would you give us, God, a true Emmanuel presence here now. Would your presence come and fill this place and come and impact us and reveal your glory. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we've just had a second to look about perspective of Christmas from kids. But think about the perspective of a not much older than a kid, a woman named Mary, who was probably a young teenager going through a very strange experience, coming, giving birth, according to the angel, to the Son of God.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the
again. Father, we thank you for the reminders, God, of the most mysterious, wondrous event that ever happened outside of creation itself, and that was you leaving your garments of light, your constant praise of angels, leaving your heavenly throne to come here to earth. And not to come to earth as an adult, but to come to earth as a young child. Come to earth as an infant baby, completely dependent on a human mother and human father that you had created yourself. So God, as we come and remember, we come and reflect here tonight, will you remind us that you stepped into time, the eternal God stepped into time that we might be reconciled with the eternal God who created us. So God, would you come and speak to us now as we look to you and look to your word. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. If you got a bulletin when you came in, there is a little insert, a sermon insert or outline, if you will, in there that might be helpful. You're welcome to use that to follow along if you'd like. We have the sermon media shout coming. As I mentioned, we've been in a sermon series comparing the first coming of Christ with the second coming of Christ, a Christmas revelation. And today we're looking at the concept of the King coming and being a conquering King, conquering sin and death, and doing it in the most unexpected way. Let me start off reading in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Hear God's word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. See, Jesus came 2,000 years ago, and He came and brought light because darkness had overtaken the earth. The earth, the world that He had created. And what was the first thing He created? God said, "Let there be light." Problem was is that there was a rebellion going on in the kingdom. You see, in the beginning, there was God, and there was light. And it was complete, and it was perfect, and it was ultimate beauty, and it was at rest, and there was peace. You see, peace between God and man, peace between Adam and Eve, and peace between people and all of creation. That was until sin entered into the world through Adam and Eve and through a choice there at the tree of knowledge and good of evil. And Adam and Eve rebelled against God and brought nakedness and brought shame and brought guilt and brought judgment into the world. And the light of men was snuffed out. Darkness began to reign on all the earth, except for some faint reflections of light. Faint reflections of life that of light that came from a promise. The promise was this, that even though Adam and Eve had welcomed darkness and sin into the world, God told them there would be one who would come who would crush the head of the serpent. That is, hundreds of years went past from that promise. The promise was often forgotten. The promise was difficult to remember. The promise had to be recited over and over again. The promise had to be spoken to one another to remember. And hundreds of years later, the promise was reignited when the angel comes and visits Mary and Joseph. When that angel comes and visits the shepherds in Bethlehem on that mountainside. And he said, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." The King's first coming inaugurates peace. Peace coming back to the world. You see, the angel appears with the heavenly host, and I love this picture because it gives you probably a more accurate picture of what it is. The heavenly host is an army of angels, not naked babies playing harps, fluttering around above your head. It's the armies of the living God. And armies don't stop and take time to sing unless victory has come. And these angels, this heavenly host is singing because peace has been inaugurated. Now you might say, well, is the celebration a little bit premature? After all, it's just a baby. And my goodness, it's a baby laying in a feeding trough. Is it really time to celebrate? You know, it reminded me a little bit of some of the movies we see these days. Movies that have a heroine character in it that starts off, and they don't just start usually with necessarily with the hero at its peak. You go back and you see the hero back in its childhood. You see him being born. You see him growing up. You see the circumstances with that. A hero like, well, Simba. The story with Simba starts when he's just a cub, right? But there's something that happens, and there's something that's important about the beginnings of heroes. Not just somebody like a Simba, but how about a William Wallace? Remember from the movie Braveheart? You don't pick up with just him in the battle scenes. You start off early on, and they give you glimpses of who he was. It's just a boy, because it's part of the story. Because you learn about the heroic characteristics that are being shaped when they're young. You learn about events that help shape them and brought context. You learn about why a hero is needed in the first place and how they were prepared for that. They bring hope when they're young. Hope of deliverance and hope of peace. See, Jesus wasn't just a baby. He was the Son of God. He was born according to the ancient prophecies. He was born according to the angel's proclamation to Mary and Joseph. He was born to a virgin. He was born and announced by a heavenly host to the shepherds. He was born and he guided the Magi by a star across the sky. That probably took them months, maybe years, to follow, to reach Jesus. He was born to bring hope of deliverance. He was born to bring peace. Isaiah 9:6 tells us this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." See, Jesus' first coming inaugurates peace as Jesus invites all those who long for the light to come to him. Colossians tells us that once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free of accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. See, Jesus came 2,000 years ago, and he initiates the offer of peace. But Jesus is not finished. The story is not over. He's promised to return. See, where the first coming inaugurated peace, it's the second coming that consummates peace. It's the fulfillment of the promise made long ago that one would come that would crush the head of the serpent and would bring peace again. John tells us this, Jesus spoke and he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and I am coming back to you." You see, the full picture of peace is not what we see 2,000 years ago with Jesus coming and making reconciliation possible between men, women, and God. That's not the full picture of it, because we still long for a peace that brings justice in the world around us. We long to see an end to oppression. We long to see the end of racism and hate. We long to see an end to sickness and disease. We long to see the harmonization of all creation, don't we? We long to see the ceasing of wars. We long for Satan and his demons to be banished once and for all. We long for sin to be eliminated. We long, for Pete's sake, for death to be destroyed. Every single one of you here is probably old enough to have lost somebody that you cared about to death. The picture we have of peace right now is just the beginning that's been offered. It's not the consummation of it. That comes with Jesus in his second coming. You know, why are the stories of Simba and the stories of a William Wallace, why are those so appealing to us? Well, let me tell you something that you know already deep down. The Simba cub, as cute and cuddly as he was, is not what your heart was longing for in that story, was it? Your heart was longing for something more. Your heart was longing for the Simba that is restored as the rightful king and restore us a pride land. That's what you long for. That's what made it a great story. William Wallace was a cute kid, but I tell you, William Wallace didn't do anything to change the environment for his family or his people until you met William Wallace, the man. And there was something inside of every one of you, if you saw that movie, that was like, yeah, that's what we were longing for. We didn't want just the promise of hope. We didn't just want the potential for peace. We wanted to see it realized. We wanted to see a conqueror come and bring the kind of peace that our hearts were longing for. And let me tell you, it's not this picture of Jesus that your heart is most longing for. Because even though it inaugurated the coming and the bringing of peace, it's not the consummation of it. We long for Jesus to return as the conqueror king that Revelation says he is. Listen to Revelation 19. And I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the picture that needs to stay ingrained in every heart of every true follower of Jesus Christ. Because that's the hope that one day the wrongs will be made right, that one day peace, true peace, will come and will be realized. And things will be as they ought to be and as they should be. This Christmas, let me encourage you to celebrate remembering his first coming. Celebrate his first coming, maybe for a change this year, by embracing and longing more for his second coming and fixing your eyes upon that. Because he is coming back. Take your life and light it. From Christ himself. Light it from the one who created light. The one who is himself light. 1 John 1 says this, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Let me just ask you honestly, as the light of Jesus Christ truly enters your heart this Christmas season, you feel like you're a match sometimes and you need it to get reignited once a year, Christmas, maybe twice a year, Easter? Or have you been set alive with the hope that is yours through faith in Jesus Christ? And have you embraced him as the one who is the light? 2 Corinthians 4:6 says this, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Will you receive Christ this Christmas if you haven't already? Will you receive him as your Lord and Savior? Will you follow him? Because he's King of Kings. Because he's Lord of Lords. And although he started in a manger, he comes back on a horse. And he comes back to finish what he came to start. Will he know you when he comes back? Will you know him? He came. Not just to wish you a Merry Christmas. He came to make it a Merry Christmas. And he came to be your King, to be your Lord. Let's pray. Father God, as we remember and acknowledge and are reminded about who you are, God, as we come, as we look back and don't just remember your first coming, but as we contemplate that your first coming was all about setting up your second, that your first coming was maybe the first half, but there's a second half of the game where you come and you restore all things. God, we know deep down we're longing for. We know that deep down that there's something more that we look for and need from this life that's not there because we weren't created for this world of sin. God, we were created for a world of righteousness that you originally created. And that through our rebellion, we have wrecked and we have caused to fall apart. So God, for those that are looking for hope this morning, will you extend that through your Holy Spirit? And will you invite those to come and trust you, to come and confess their sins? God, for any that are here tonight that know that they are not truly followers of you, God, would you give them the boldness and the grace to say, God, I confess my sin. And to be able to name it specifically, they know it and you know it. But God, to name it, to forsake it. God, to come and to claim the forgiveness that Jesus Christ came to bring. To die on a cross. To pay the penalty for our sin. God, would you give them the encouragement and the faith to receive that, knowing that you promised to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God, would you come, would you take up dwelling within every single person who either has made that decision or makes it here tonight. And God, would your Emmanuel presence come and not be just a reflection from a book in the Bible that we're reading that's thousands of years old, but would your coming and your Emmanuel presence come and fill hearts, God, here tonight. God, do that for your glory. God, do that for your honor. So, Father, we pray that you would come and meet with us, that you would come and touch our hearts. Pray this in Christ's name. was on that night that Jesus came and the light entered the world, and that darkness did not understand it. Our hope and prayer is tonight that the darkness is veered out of the way, the darkness is parted, that you, your family, understands the reality of why Christ has come into the world. He came to bring life, he came to bring forgiveness, he came to bring peace, and he's coming again. So as we start our candle lighting here now, as we sing Silent Night in just a second, let me encourage you to be careful with the fires that comes around with that, kids. When it comes to you, you can crack that glow stick when it comes with that as well. But be reminded that as we do this, we are remembering the reality of Christ coming. And we are inviting him in his presence to come and rule and reign our lives, because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So remember that as we do that. Continue to reflect upon that as we come now and sing Silent Night. So that you who bear the light might go out and share it with all those around you, not just the next 24 hours, but all your days ahead. So let me invite you to stand with us as we are reminded to hold your light up. And on the last verse of Joy of the World, hold it up extra high as well. As we come, having experienced the joy of Christ, we come and offer it to the world around us that's desperately in need of that.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature. to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as.
Hold your light high.
He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of,
and wonders of his love.
And wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Now receive his blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and lift up his countenance upon you. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed. Merry Christmas. Go share the joy of Christ tonight.